where would you be? I want to mention again the ones on our prayer list, be praying for them. We certainly glad to see Miss Annie Sinclair back with us. Be praying for the rest of them we have on our prayer list. I mentioned last week that Greg from our association office was supposed to be with us tonight. We got our dates kind of messed up, but he'll be here the last Sunday in this month, Sunday night, to show us some films and also on our missionary that we're doing in the association office. And we'll be glad to see him when he comes. But that'll be the last Sunday in this month, the 24th. So be praying for him. But this morning, just thank you. You have a testimony for the Lord today. I mean, has the Lord really blessed you? The Lord saved you today? And do you have a testimony? Say, Lord, I just want to thank you for saving my soul. And the wisdom that God has gave us, you know, and we just want to thank him for that. For this morning, we'll be in the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And the chapter here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 20 on down through the rest of the chapter is a very sad verses of scriptures, because it's the loneliness of God calling out the mankind. Mankind will not turn to man, to God. God is a sadness, and we hear here of the wisdom. And this wisdom, as we see in the book of Proverbs, is about the call of God. And the loving, the word of God is called, but yet the people has refused. And we feel the brokenness. As we read these verses of scriptures, we just feel the brokenness of God on these scriptures. I'm here this morning representing the word of God to you today and reading these from time to time this whole past week and been praying about this scripture, because a lot of times Satan do not want you to preach some of the parts of the Bible. And you see, this is one of them, and it's about the salvation of a soul. And also it's about the day that there's a deadline. There's one of these days out in the future, if you're here this morning, I'm telling you, and you've never accepted Jesus. If you're here today, if you've never done this, now you know about Jesus Christ. Everybody knows about Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived a sinless life. He died on a cross, and you know what? He rose from the grave. He's back with the Lord. That is the knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done. But you have that knowledge in your head, but you've never accepted it in your heart. Well, you think you're just a pretty good person, but you see, God says there's none good, no, not one. And if you've never really had this experience, young or old, whatever it might be this morning, there will be a deadline out in the future. It may be a deadline here this morning. And you'll never, ever, ever get another chance to accept Jesus Christ. This is wisdom's final call and deadline. It happens across the world. One day we know that the church age is going to be over with. There'll be a rapture of the church. That'd be a deadline. But you see, there's a deadline for every person. God is long-suffering. God loves everybody, and God's calling people today. But there's no response for so many. So it left God only one thing to do, and that is destruction and judgments. God's final deadline. And I say maybe it might be even today that people will not respond. It may be someone sitting here today, and you know all the things, you know all the way, you know all the words of salvation, but you've never really accepted that you was a lost sinner, doomed and damned and on your way to a place called hell because of the nature that you was born with, nothing that you have done, because that you are born with a falling nature away from God, and you need Jesus Christ. And you've never done that. But there will be a time, God says in these verses of scriptures I'm fixing to read, there will be a time. If you say no to God out into the future, one of these days, it might be, you know, going down the road, it might be a wreck on the highway. It might be that you're sitting in your home and you see you have a pain to your heart. It might be when they have called a 911 and you're on the way to the hospital. It might be one side of your whole side is paralyzed and you're wondering if this is going to be it. And then fear might grip your heart and you're saying, oh God, oh God, oh God. God says, I will not hear you. How sad it is to know One of these days, out in the future, they may be that deadline. How sad it is to know that right here, sitting here in the pews of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, that they may be someone, and this is the final call to that person. Never, ever again, one of these days, that person might be calling on God, and God says, I will not hear you. I will turn it into destruction. I will turn that person into desolation, because they had a chance. And they would not heed the word of God. They would not heed to the mercy and the love and the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. They see themselves as good enough. They see themselves and have not done nothing against God. But God said, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, it said, is death. Death to that soul forever and ever. When you come into this world that God allowed you to come into this world, you'll be somewhere for all eternity. That little baby that you hold, that little baby that you brought into this world, that little baby going to spend somewhere for all eternity. There was a time whenever you was not, but there will never, ever be a time when you're not, because God says there's an everlasting, everlasting. It's an everlasting place called heaven, or it's an everlasting place called hell. And the dividing line is where you want to accept Jesus Christ. There's a decision. So this morning, there is the wisdom, final call. There is a deadline going out. And how sad it is that it might be this day. How sad it might be that someone would go to hell from a place called Pleasant Hill Baptist Church on the padded pews and the air conditioned and the heated place that we have and everything that we might do, but that person have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They have rejected saying that I'm good enough. I have not murdered anybody. I have not killed anybody. I have not committed any of these great crimes. I have not robbed the bank. But yet God says that you're arguing with God. This is the wisdom of God that's talking against the wisdom of mankind, the knowledge of mankind. It is mankind's argument with God. And I'll tell you, God is going to win every time. You are lost and undone in your sin because you have sinned against God if you understand what God is saying in His Word. So we pray here this morning that God might open up your understanding. That we pray that everything has been done here this morning, that the stage has been set for the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. And last week we prayed on Wednesday night that some lost people might be saved. If you hear this hour and you know for sure without a shadow of doubt that you are saved, you're on the way to a place called heaven because Jesus Christ stopped you when you was running away from God and the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God visited your heart and opened up your heart's door and you allowed Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in a spirit to come into your heart. And from that on that you know that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise into that day of redemption. You know that you're on the way to heaven. Would you just utter a word of prayer as we begin to read these verses of scriptures that God might move and work in a mighty way here this morning, that He might overshadow this place today with that great shadow of the Holy Spirit of God and the drawing and the wooing of someone here today. It might be somebody that's already a church member. Church membership will not save you. That's what's wrong with a lot of our churches today and a lot of people today. They're dependent on church membership. They're dependent on baptism. They're dependent on a good being a good person, but God says there's none good to understand what God is talking about. Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 20, wisdom is crying and wisdom is talking for God right now as we understand this. And wisdom's crying without, it says, she uttered her voice in the streets. She's crying in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city, she utters her words, saying, calling, calling, calling. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. It says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. This day he's speaking. It says, because I have called, and you refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But you have said it naught, all my counsels and all my words and everything I ever done, and would none of my reproof. Yeah, it says, I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. And he says, when your fear cometh, desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind with distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall you cry upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Let us pray now, Father. We just pray, O God, that we might be obedient to your word. We pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit of God. As you said many times ago in your holy word of God, as you look down upon Jerusalem and you said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I like to gather you together as a chicken gathering her little bitties under her wings, but you would not. Father, that same word echoes through all eternity. Father, Lord, that you spreading your wings here today. We may not be able to see them, but Father, we know that your holy word promised that you would be here where two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ. You promised that you would be there with your spirit pulling today. So Father, I know that you're looking down upon us today in a very special way, that you're in the service today. And Father, we know that your arms are spread wide, oh God, and you're pulling everyone here today. That person thought they were just coming here to just listen to a sermon. That person thought they're just coming here to please someone else. But Father, you know the very reason, God, that person here, because Lord, it's your great power that you brought that person here. Father, we just pray now that, Lord, that you might work in that person's heart this day. Father, we know that if one lost sinner comes to repentance, that all heaven may rejoice over that one lost sinner today. Father, we pray there might be more than one. They might be two. But Father, we just pray, God, this message might find lodgment in the heart of that person. Father, we just pray, God, that you look down upon this congregation here this day, and ever more power, oh God, be upon here this day, that heaven's looking on, oh God, listening to every word, oh God, and to every heart that's here. Father, we pray that you might bind anything here that keeps us, oh God, from listening to the word of God and listening to the Spirit of God. Father, that you might work in a body in a special way in the service here today. And we thank you. We're going to praise you for what you've already done this day, for what you're doing this very hour, and what you're going to do at the completion of this service when the invitation is given. Father, we want to thank you and praise you for all the things that you have done and will do for us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen and amen. Again, I say that we're living in this church age. One of these days, it'll be the last soul to be saved. One of these days, God's final call to this world, and then the rapture of the church. Then all the people's going to be left to face the Antichrist. There'll be many people saved in what we call the seven-year tribulation of time, but it would be not like the day we're living in, the day of grace, when all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. His living arms is here this day if you just accept him. Jesus Christ said there's two roads that people's on today. There's on the wide road, and there's also the narrow road, but that wide road, it says there's many be that go in thereat. They're following this wide road. They're following after what they think is right. And it says in Proverbs, what thinketh right the man leadeth to destruction. And that means death, destruction, and hell. Lord also said in that day many say, Lord, Lord, hadn't I done this and hadn't I done this? Didn't I go to church and weren't I a pretty good person? I never hurt nobody. I never harmed nobody. Lord, Lord, what I've done, I believe that you was the Son of the Lord of the God. I believe that you was nailed on the cross. I believe that you died for my sin, Lord, Lord. But you see, he says, depart from me, ye that work of iniquity, I never knew you. Why? Because you never accepted Jesus Christ. You never had that personal relationship with him. You knew all these things with your head, but your heart never received God. The day wisdom is calling, is speaking today. In this Proverbs, it's speaking as a personal, but here it's speaking also as God, as we understand this. The voice of God is a voice of wisdom. Whenever wisdom's speaking, it said God is speaking. When authority of wisdom is used, authority of God is used. When the invitation of wisdom is given, it's the invitation of God. When the warning of wisdom is given, it is the warning of God. When you neglect wisdom, you are neglecting the call of God and the word of God. But when you give honor to wisdom, you give honor to God. Whenever you get the blessings of wisdom, you get the blessings of God today. Wisdom that is speaking today to you and to me today. The wisdom is speaking for us today. And the title, Wisdom, Final and Last Call. Wisdom deadline today. It might be today. It might be way out there in the future. God only knows. And today, you're here today, and you're going to make a choice. You're going to have to choose. God has given you the free choice, what you might choose. You say, well, I'm free, that I'm not going to choose. No, you cannot make a decision that you're not going to choose, because if you make a decision not to choose, it means that you have made a decision already today. He that is not with me, Jesus Christ, is against me. Corinthians says today, the day of salvation, it's not next week. You don't decide that you're going to get saved the day when the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you, when the plan of salvation has been a reproach here to every one of us today, and you hear it today, and you neglect this, it leaves nothing else for you. The Holy Spirit, the one that calls you today, Pleasant Hill, some person here today, maybe it may be the last call. You know that God may be getting up a trip right now. He may be getting up a trip to go to heaven. The last flight that God's given you. The gates of heaven, I'm telling you today, is opened by the power of the Word of God. God has opened heaven for us today. One of these days, it'll be too late. One of these days, Jesus Christ says, I have the keys of heaven and hell. I have the keys of life and death. And one of these days, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, accept the time. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, whenever Jesus Christ is calling you, Jesus Christ says, I have the key, and I will lock that key. And everybody have accepted Jesus Christ, He's locked them into salvation. He's locked them into heaven. But woe to that person, because He locks them out of heaven and He locks them into hell. And there will be no hope for you. You have rejected God's final wisdom. You have rejected God's final call, and there's no help for you. Your son can't help you. Your daughter can't help you. Your mothers and your fathers can't help you. All the love of all the people surrounding you, they can't help you. I know that you love your family this morning. I know you love your mother and your father, your sister and your brother. I know that you love your kids. You love all your family. But I say your love will never save not one of your family. It don't matter how much you love your family. Your love will not save them. But not only that, you cannot love them like Jesus Christ loved them. You cannot love this world like Jesus Christ loved the world. But I say that Jesus Christ's love did not save anybody. It's His death on the cross of Calvary that saved you today. It was not His love. It was His love that sent Him there. But His death and resurrection to raise from that grave, His death saved you today. So I'm going to tell you what He done on Calvary's cross. He was willing to die for you, just you today. That was a love. And that's what Christ done for you. He died for you this day. I hope today, if you're in this service today, that you will understand that there's a deadline out there for everybody. Wisdom, final invitation. It's to whosoever will. God loves all people of the world. Sometimes we think here in America that God just specially loves us because we are Americans. We don't think about people in foreign countries. We don't think about people there in Mexico or in these foreign countries that people go to. But I'm going to tell you, God has no line drawn across the sand for anybody. He loves the whole world. I'm going to tell you, He loves everybody. It don't matter what color they are. Whosoever will. This is a public invitation. It's going out to everybody all over the world. People join sometimes secret societies, and they join lodges, and they say that we'll give you this certain knowledge, and this knowledge will help you to be a better person. But you see, but don't tell nobody. I tell you, like God says, I said, I have done nothing in secret for you to tell everybody. If it's so good, why don't you tell somebody? If what you have, if God, what God has given you is so great, would you trade your salvation for anything that you can think of? Would you let someone else live your salvation? Would you give someone else your salvation? You'd say, no, I would give it up for nothing in the world. If it's so great, why don't you try to share it with someone else, that someone else might know and understand the great joy that you have? Do you have joy and excitement in your life for what Jesus Christ done for you? Do you understand when you was on your way to a place called hell? Do you understand what Jesus Christ done for you? Do you understand what the Word of God and the Spirit of God done for your heart? They ought to be more enthusiasm today we have in our church today. We'll be jumping and shouting and saying amen for Jesus Christ, the joy that we have, what God has done for me and what God has done for my family. If it's so great, why don't we share it? It says there in Matthew, what I tell you in darkness, you speak here in the light, and what you hear in the ears that you preach upon the rooftops, tell it to everybody what Christ has done for us. You say that I have real joy in the Lord. Well, if you do, why don't you share it? It says this wisdom, it is a public invitation. It's for everybody we see. That's the reason we support missionaries. That's the reason we send missionaries around the world today. That's the reason we're supposed to have visitation. Thank you for the ones that's going, because it is a public invitation. I'm going to tell you, the wisdom of God is calling everybody. There's people living around us in this church. I'm telling you, everybody, when we go to our home, we're scattered out all over across several different counties maybe, and also we find out all over the period Pierce County, and there's people not living not very far from us have never accepted Jesus Christ. Some may be living in our own home. If it's so good, why don't we share it? This is a public invitation for wisdom, final call for every one of us. But also a pressing invitation. It says, verse 20 and 21, wisdom is crying without. She's crying in the chief places of the concern. As we preach here and we take it or leave it situation, many times as preachers stand, they preach their heart out to congregation. It's a take it or leave it. I'll just be glad when it gets through and I go out the way I come in. I've heard that sermon. I've been to church. I've done God a favor. I've been there on Sunday morning. It's a take it or leave it. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit of God, the wisdom of this invitation, it is a public invitation. But not only that, it's a very pressing invitation that you may understand. This is a wisdom. It's lifting their voice. And in this wisdom of lifting the voice, it is a tear. The wisdom is speaking with a tear in her voice. And it says there, listening again, is it said how it's crying. How long, you simple ones, how long? It's a cry. You can feel it on the words of God. You can hear it as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We see the sense of the urgency and the emergency of the tears in the voice of wisdom. The tears in the voice of God is crying out today. How can anybody sit on the pews of a church and hear the gospel preach day in and day out, week in and week out, and not come to repentance and come to accepting Jesus Christ? How long has God got to do this? How long has God to talk to your heart? How long are you going to sit on that pew and not do what God has called you to do? I'm going to tell you, it's a very pressing invitation. He's present to your heart. You won't always be able to sit on that pew. There'll be one day when you're not able to come. If you keep saying no to God, there'll be one day that you won't be able. There'll one day that you wish you had. It says whenever you're crying and you're in tears and you're in pain and you're in torment, you'll say, oh God, is this it, God? I'm hurting in my heart. I'm having a stroke. God, I need your help. I'm on the way to the hospital. And God says, I won't hear you. You're going to need help one day. Every person, I'm going to tell you, with blood still running warm in their veins this morning, they're going to need God. I'm going to tell you, you don't have time for God today, and people don't have time for the things of God today, but one day they're going to be wisdom final call, and that person making excuses, and they won't serve and lift up the hands of Jesus Christ. Hey, one of these days, they're going to be that final call. It might be their kid there that needs help. It might be the sickness and sorrow. It might be the wreck on the highway, and they call out to God, oh God, help my family. Oh God, help my family. He says, I won't hear you. I won't hear you. That's a sad, sad occasion for mankind to know that there's a living God and reject and make excuses for not allowing their children to come around God's holy things and hear the holy things of God and not responding to the invitation call. The patience of this invitation. Verse 22 says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. It's a category of people it's talking about now, against God's wisdom, against God's calling. It says the simple ones, and that means the open-minded ones. I mean the ones, you know, you go to college and, you know, in universities, and you hear the kids, and they come back home, and they say, you know, Dad, Mama, you need to be open-minded. You need to be wide-minded. That is the teaching today among most of our universities today, that you be wide-minded. And that's what it means. It means it's simple. Open to everything. Open to everything. It means easy to lead. It means gullible today. It means careless today. Do not stop, you know, and think the things out today. And that is exactly the open-minded that we have in our country today. They have opened their mind to every whim, every doctrine, every wind that blows, except the Word of God. They're open-minded, and that same open-minded is going to lead to that wide road. That wide road that leads to destruction, death, and hell, because they have opened their mind to the things of this world instead of the things of God. Many there that thinks they're doing very good, but they're dishonoring God. This world will not bless you. I'm going to say they think life is a party. In this Proverbs chapter 22 and 3, it says, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass it on and are punished. the simple-minded man, the person there that just will not think things out, or is punished. The simple never stop to think. Never stop to think that one day there's going to be a death to you. Let's put it off. Let's don't think about it. But there is a judgment to face. There's a hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain. And then it says the scornful. One more. They move from simple-minded to the scornful person. They decided that they want to mock the things of God. Ha! Huh, what are they doing now there at that church at Pleasant Hill? I'm getting along just as good as they are. I can sit here with me and my family at the house, and I'm doing just as good as any of those people down at Pleasant Hill. Besides, that preacher tells things I don't like to hear. And they'll mock the things of God. One of these days, they make this decision. In the book of Revelation, there's a group of people. If you read the book of Revelation, it says those that dwell upon the earth. Those are people who have made a decision this world is the only world they want to live for. And those people balk, make fun of the things of God. But one of these days, it says they're going to cry out for the rocks to fall on them. One of these days, it's coming. And they laugh and sneer. They ridicule the things of God, the words of God in His church. And the devil has carved his initial upon their heart. How long will you hate knowledge? Thank you, God, for the patience. Thank God for the patience that He had with me. Are you want to thank God for the patience He had with you? That He was very patient with me. But then we see not only wisdom invitation, but we see wisdom indoctrination. The doctrine that you need to understand. Say, I don't understand this wisdom. I don't understand this Bible. I don't understand these things. And it's not my fault. God is challenging you. You say you don't understand that you're a lost sinner. You don't understand that you have not accepted Jesus Christ. You don't understand what I'm saying. You say, no, I don't understand this. God is challenging you, and it's your word up against God's word. Is your word up against God's word? Proverbs 1 and 23. How long? And it says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's God speaking. You cannot claim ignorance to God's word. God is speaking to you. If you will turn, He'll let you understand. You understand here this morning. Salvation is made known to you. God's last calling. There's a deadline that's coming to the wise, the wisdom. But see, there's three steps to this. The first step, you know, if you understand this doctrination, he's talking about the wisdom of God in the Word of God. There's repentance of the sinner. Verse 21, turn you at my reproof. You got to repent before that you're going to understand. God's going to give you all the understanding you need that you are a lost sinner. In fact, that's all God's going to ever give to you is let you know that you are a lost sinner. You're not a pretty good person. You are a lost person. Many people think good people goes to heaven and bad people goes to hell. That is incorrect. Saved people goes to heaven and lost people goes to hell. Because God says there's none of us good. It's salvation. Jesus Christ. Repentance. Turn. Repent. Change of mind. Isaiah 55 and 7 says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to go into our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, he says, turn unto the Lord. When a person reached the age of accountability as a child, listen, mothers and fathers, and you need to help your grandparents and your grandkids and all of them. When a child comes into this world, they come with a fallen nature. They come with an Adam nature. They come with a falling nature. You understand that? When they grow to the age that they know that they rebelling against God, not only when they know they do good and bad, because they know that from very little, but they come to the age and they know they rebelling against God, they need to be saved. I don't know that age. Mankind don't know that age. God knows that age. But when they reach that age, if they keep rejecting God, and through all their life is what they're doing, they're walking away from God the rest of their life. I don't care how old you are, you're still walking away from God from time that you got the age of accountability. Now, some people walk faster than others, and some people even runs away from God. But you sitting here today, you have walked away from God from since you were the age of accountability. And it says there in Isaiah, he says, now if you'll turn, if you return unto the Lord. Now you've got to turn back towards the Lord. You're walking away from Him. You've been walking away from Him. You need to turn back to the Lord, because the Lord is the one that saved you. Person, I tell you, needs to understand that. He said, I'll let you know this by the word of God, forsaking our ways and forsaking our thoughts, and it's God's ways. And when you repent, you get God's thoughts and God's ways. As you think I'm a good person, you won't think you're too good a person. You come in this building and think you might say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm good enough to go to heaven. I'm good enough for anybody around here. You may be good enough, but I'm telling you one thing. God says you need to repent. And when you repent and you understand what a lost sinner you really are, then you begin to get God's thoughts and God's mind in you, the mind of Christ in you, and then we start looking at ourselves. Hey, I am a so lost sinner. I'm going to tell you what, I deserve hell. Do you understand? Everybody today, we deserve hell. When you see what God is and what you are, and you understand what God has done for you and what you are, you say, you know, you deserve hell. But now you see that God gives you His heart and His mind and His thoughts, that you understand that God is the one that saves us. It's not our goodness. It's not our behavior. Well, I'll be a good person. I mean, I'll be a good neighbor. I'll be a good person. Your goodness will not cut it. Your goodness will not enter into heaven. God says that goodness is a filthy rag in my sight. You can't do anything in your lost condition towards God. We can be good to our neighbors. We can be good to our family. We can be a good moral person. We can say that is a good man. That is a good woman. But they're good towards mankind. But they're not good towards God. No, not one, because they have not accepted Jesus Christ. The reason God sent His Son, because of that person, and that person have rejected the Son of Jesus Christ, makes that person's goodness of filthy rags towards God. Now it says, the revelation of the Spirit. Once you repent, you understand of the sinner, then there comes a revelation of the Spirit. The revelation of the Spirit, Proverbs 1:20 again, it says, turn, it says. And then 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. You do not understand, you can't, because you have not repented. But when you repent, He will show you. You read the Bible, you might know the names, you might know the dates, you might know the history. But until you repent and turn towards God, will you ever understand the revelation of the Spirit of God? Because He said, the revelation of the Spirit, He will reveal it to us. And then you see, you turn then on the reliability of the Scriptures. You know, I'm saved because it's written in the Word of God. A lot of people, well, I feel like I'm saved, have this feeling. Don't you ever, ever, ever go on your feelings. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's not a feeling, it is a fact. There's probably not a person here that's saved this hour that the devil hadn't tricked you sometime or another and make you doubt your salvation. You have done some things that you ought not have done. You thought some things you ought not have thought. You say, well, you got to thinking, am I really saved? Because Satan will say, hey, you're not saved. You're not really saved, and you might doubt your own salvation. Probably every person had the wrestle with that. It's saved. If not, you will. And then what do you do? You turn to the reliability of the Scriptures. It says you are saved by the Word of God. What it says, not how you think, but not how you feel, but what Scripture says. 23, and there is repentance of the sinner, and there's going to be revelation of the Spirit, and then it's followed by the reliability of the Scriptures this day. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but he said, out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Proverbs 2:6-7 says, and I've already read this, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom, for the righteous is he that buckleth to them that walks upright. He's the call now. He's calling. We see the wisdom invitation. We see the wisdom and doctrination, all the word and the wisdom of God through the word of God, through the Spirit of God. But then I say, you say here, and you say, no, 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 no to God. You've done it before. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I doubt this is the first time that you've ever heard a salvation message. I doubt this is the first time that wooing the Holy Spirit of God has said, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to get right. You need to get right. I doubt that'd be the first time, but I tell you, it might be the last time. It may be the last time for that person that's sitting here today. And then the last time, it's going to be terrible, terrible, terrible. Because this wisdom will turn into indignation. Turn into indignation. The great, loving, merciful God comes with judgment now. And he's slow to their anger. But wrath is coming. The wisdom of indignation. Nahum says in 1 and 6, who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fierceness is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Hebrews 10 and 27 says, but a certain fearful look for a judgment, and the fierce indignation which shall devour the adversary. The picture of hell here. The picture of people that's crying, going to a place called hell. The deadline, wisdom, is turning into indignation. There'll be a time out there. There'll be a time out there, ma'am, sir, that one of these days, if you keep rejecting Jesus Christ, there's going to be a time. And you're going to cry. Why does wisdom become indignation? 24 and 25 says in Proverbs says, because I've called you, and you have refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regard. But you said it not, all my counsel, all my words, and with none of my reproof, I've called you, but you would not. But God says he's long-suffering. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today is the call. You refuse. The invitation that's going to be given to you. The invitation right now, one of these days, if that final call is going to turn to indignation. He said, because I've called you. Derision of the sinner. What's going to happen? I've called you and you refused. 1 and 26, it's going to turn to indignation. Psalms 2 and 4, you know what it says? It says, you know what? I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh. He that saith in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. One of these days, God's going to laugh at you. You're mocking, making fun of God. One of these days, it's going to be turned around. And God's going to laugh at you. Why would he laugh? Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. You're going to reap what you sow. You sit here and you know what? You will not accept what I have preached. You will not accept the word of God. You will not accept the spirit of God. And you won't accept that. You know what? You're going to reap what you sow. Destruction and desolation of the sinner. In verse 27, it says again, what's going to happen? When your fear cometh, and it's going to come. Listen to me. It's going to come. You're going to have some fear. When your fear cometh, and it's going to come, as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, with distress and with anguish cometh upon you. The saddest word in the Bible, I think, is this word desolation. You know what it means? And when it comes upon you, one of these days you're going to need God. But you know this word says? It means to be left alone. You don't want God working on you. You don't want to accept what God wants to do for you right now. No, not now. Leave me alone. I'm not going to come down that aisle, and I'm not going to accept Jesus Christ right where I'm at. I'm not going to do it. I want God to leave me alone. A lot of people don't want us knocking on their door and try to get them to come to the house of God and accept Jesus Christ. They want to be left alone. Well, it says desolation. One of these days, God says, I'm going to leave you alone. And that's one of the saddest parts in the Word of God. You're going to be left alone. It might be going left alone whenever you're crying out in mercy for God. Like I say, you might be on the way to the hospital. It might be all these things you got to go through, all the pain and agony. And then you're in that room by yourself, and our hearts are beating. Our hearts are beating. And they skip a beat, and you're getting very, very nervous. You don't know. You can't move maybe one side. Maybe something already happened to your mind. Maybe there's great pain in your head, and you're there. The doctor's done all they can do. And then they roll you in that room, and then you're right by yourself, alone, alone. God says, I'm going to leave you alone. There won't be no help. Doctor's done all they can do. There's only less one person, that's Jesus. And you have rejected him and rejected him. And rejected him. And God says, the deadline has already been met. The gates of glory have been closed for you. You have refused. Desolate. You're left alone. It's too late now. Behold, your house is left desolate. No longer will you hear the voice of God. No longer will you hear the outstretched hands of God. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Destruction of the sinner. It says you're going to weep the whirlwind. They're going to be a cyclone blowing across your soul. They're going to be a tornado blowing across your soul. Who can stand the destruction of God's power of a tornado? Nothing is left standing. One day, lady, man, sir, you here today, and the deadline is past. They're going to be a tornado that blows across your soul, and you're not going to be able to stand the power of God because you have rejected it. The desperation judgment of the sinner is going to bring fall. Proverbs 28 on down. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own device. Go now. Go now, eat your own fruit. You thought you was good enough? Well, depend on your goodness to get you to heaven. You thought you was all right? Depend on your goodness. You thought you'd done this and do that? Depend on that. You're going to eat of your own fruit and see if that would satisfy you. Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. Today, I want you to bow with me in prayer. This is very, very important. To everybody that's here today, Brother Orville will come with a song or an invitation while you're bowing. Father Jesus Christ, if there's one here this day, Father, they heard this word. Father, it is not my word. Father, I am unable to preach the word. You are the one that divides right and truth. Father, you're the one. You're the one that opens up that heart this hour. Father, I pray, oh God, this day, there's someone that needs to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Lord, help them, oh God. Give them the strength to get up out of their seats and walk down this aisle. Father, they may already accept the Jesus Christ right where they're at. Father, if they have, God, let them be known, Lord, the second step is becoming a member of your local church and following you through baptism. Let the world know that you're not ashamed for what you've done for that person through baptism, the death and the burial and the resurrection. Father, we fixing to play this song. And Father, we know that heaven is open. The glory is open this day. Father, we know the deadline is not over because the people are here today. Whosoever will shall come today. It's not over. But when they walk out of this building, Father, we pray that everybody will walk out under the blood. But if that person walks out over the blood of Jesus Christ by rejection, it might be the last time. It might be the last word. It might be the last chance. Is wisdom the final call? Oh, Father, we pray that they will not spurn this invitation. We pray that they might come this day to glorify your precious name in heaven. Jesus, we pray this hour right now as we sing your holy song, Brother Orville.